Now we're going to read from God's word, and we're going to read in Isaiah and chapter 9. It's on page 694. And over the next three Sunday mornings, we're going to be looking at different Christmas gifts. And our theme today is the idea of hope, the gift of hope. So Isaiah, we're going to be reading chapter 9, and then we're going to read verse 2, and then just verse 5 to 7. Let's read God's word together. Isaiah chapter 9. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Verse 5, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Turn with me to Isaiah and chapter 9. What are we looking forward to most about Christmas? Now, for some, it's that one gift that they really want. For some, it's spending time with family. It's such a precious thing. For some, it might just be getting some time off. For some, there's really not a lot to look forward to at this time of year. There can be excitement. There can be disappointment. There can be anticipation. There can be relief. There can be hope, joy, and peace. Christmas can be a lot of things. And it changes a lot from person to person. And it's a huge concept that dominates our calendar, our shops and our homes. It dominates the airwaves. It dominates our lives at this time. It's an opportunity for gift-giving hidden with the anonymity of Santa Claus. But Christmas can also be a time overstuffed with events and dinners, a season cluttered with songs over sentimentalism, commercialism, and waste. It can be an idea prone to overkill, even in the church. But as we go through the Advent calendar, it's right for us to remember what really defines Christmas. Now, in all the best ways, Christmas dares for us to believe that the best is yet to be, because the true meaning of Christmas has already happened. Now, we are invited to immerse ourselves at this time of year in real hope. And it can all begin today. First thing I want to look at from this chapter here is that hope is a light in the darkness. We read from Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, for those people, a light has dawned. This last week, I'm sure I've seen plenty of excitement for you to put your Christmas trees up. Kids nagging you to let them decorate the tree, although probably a lot of you will end up with maybe the bottom left section over decorated compared to the rest of it. Christmas at its best is a beautiful way to brighten up the darkness of winter. with all the lights, with all the decorations. I mean, every year I go out of my way to drive past the Paul household. But the lights are symbolic. Even if you're not doing it with any real symbolism in your mind, there's still that desire innate in all of us to push back at the darkness at the darkest time of the year. Isaiah tells us that the people are walking in darkness. The world is dark. Now, the first light to go on in our heads before you turn on any light in any room is to realize that the room is first of all dark. You've got to clock on to the fact that the room is dark before you turn on the light. How is the world dark? Chapter verse here says the people are walking in darkness, in the land of deep darkness. How is the world dark? You may know this very well, but in the Bible, the word dark refers to both ignorance and evil. It means the world is filled with suffering, evil, violence, injustice, abuse, the existence and the need of the idea of refugees, oppression, broken homes, broken minds, grief, confusion. We live in a dark world. And the world is in the dark as to how to fix it. We're days away. We're staring down the barrel of yet another general election, and none of the leaders on offer, none of the governments on offer, none of the parties can fix this world. Of course, it's right for us to use our vote to do the best that we can with the consciences that we can to try and see what the best kind of government who will look after us will be. And yet, with all the choices that we have, there is not one leader, not one party that will fix this world. Now, that's the false hope that can get us going for a short time until we're disappointed again. For some, it is in the world of politics. It's another leader of a political party, another ideological movement, another dawn where we think we can heal the world if we just unite and try hard enough. Or it can be, for some of us, another Christian celebrity or a leader or a preacher or another church, a new idea, a new way of doing things. And it's that dawn of false hope. But Christmas hope is the light in that darkness. It focuses in on the leader, the person, the answer that we all yearn for. Christmas hope is focused on one person stepping into the darkness, being born into the darkness. Jesus is the light that has dawned. John 1, verse 9 and 10 tells us the true light that gives light to everyone was coming. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. In that darkness, there's always an inherent ignorance. People willfully ignoring, this is our light. Our hope has already dawned. Now, Christmas isn't meant to be, it can be, but it isn't meant to be sentimental faff. It's meant to be a sober understanding that things really are this dark. And yet we have hope. In Christmas, we have hope because the true light has already come into the world. Because to us a child is born, to us a son is given. Here is the government above all. Here is your light in whatever darkness you're going through, there's no other claim like this. A son given. It's a gift. Christmas hope is the gift of a son. That this light in the darkness is meant to be received as a gift. Received. It's a costly gift. But there has never been a gift offered that makes you swallow your pride as much as the gift of Jesus Christ born into this world for you and me. Because to accept this true Christmas gift, you have to admit you're in the darkness. And you need this light. We need to be saved by grace. We need to own how undeserved this hope is. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, you might remember that darkness fell over the land. Darkness covered the whole land while Jesus was on the cross. And the Christmas message is that there is hope for our ruined humanity. Hope of pardon, hope of peace, hope of forgiveness, hope of glory, because Jesus, the light of the world, descended into darkness, was plunged into the darkness, suffered on the cross through the darkness, died because of that darkness, in order to give us the light, in order to give us himself. Now, where is your darkness in this winter? What are you going through right now? It could be, I don't know, the inside of your heart. It could be the darkness in your heart today. I don't know what's gripping you. I don't know what's twisting you today. I don't know what's misshaping you today. I don't know what is angering, causing you grief today. Might be the darkness of the world around you, tightening around your neck. There might be a very specific darkness cloaking you right now. Your Christmas hope, remember this again and again and again. Whatever you're going through, fix this in your mind. Your hope is that there is a light in the darkness. That there is a real person, a real Savior born who not only right now knows every element of your darkness, knows everything you're going through, but he was born in it. He walked in it. He felt every drop of it. And he died for it. That's why we celebrate. Not sentimental faff. We celebrate that Christ was born. He walked in our shoes. He knows your life. He knows what you're going through. He knows what no one else knows about you. He knows you. He cares for you. He walked in that darkness. He died for exactly what you are going through today. The winter of discontent inside of you. He knows it. He knows every ambition that has failed. Every dream that won't come true. He knows every frustration that you've ever had. He walked in it. You have hope. Even if you don't feel that hope, you have real hope because Jesus was born. The best gifts that you can get for Christmas aren't the sort of one-use, tacky Secret Santa gifts. The best ones are the ones that last. So if Christmas hope is a light in the darkness, I want to focus in on the fact that hope is also a light already lit. It's already been lit. The best gifts are the ones that last, the ones you actually use, the ones that make a difference, not something that goes into the cupboard. Christmas hope is here because a light has already dawned. And this hope is one of the sweetest gifts that God's children receive. You can embrace this hope. You can hold on to this hope. You can keep it forever. It is a real gift that makes a daily difference. One of the early church fathers, Tertullian, once said that hope is patience with the lamp lit. Hope is patience with the lamp lit. What gives you patience? What helps you keep going every day? Hope is our current patience, our ability to keep going and handle the pressures and the frustrations of the world, because the flame of that patience has already been lit by the reality of God proving that he keeps his promises. Biblical hope, the word hope as we know it, it is not at all wishful thinking. It's not some nice, lovely little idea of a baby Jesus. How nice, that's just lovely. It is the unshakable confidence that God can be trusted because he already kept his promises. It is the belief that God is always at work for our good. It is the assurance that God's promises are true, even while we are still, right now, waiting for their ultimate fulfillment. Because our hope is certain. We can wait patiently. Not fretfully, not in panic. We can wait patiently, trusting that God has already worked to give us the light we need. He's already given us Jesus. He's already given us deliverance. He's already given us the help we long for. The help you long for is already here. And that lights a flame inside of us. Something that keeps on burning. This hope based on God keeping his promises. It keeps on burning regardless of the daily ongoing darkness of your world. That Jesus, in all his grace, forgiveness, and sovereignty, is still right now being given to you as a gift. He's been given. He's still here. This is the bedrock of patience. I can ride out the darkness in my world right now. I could die because of whatever is happening in my life. I could die. But I know God is going to do what he says he'll do. And that this is not all there is. I know Jesus is mine as a gift. Not because I deserve it, but a gift. And since that gift depends on the giver and not me, then this hope is a sure thing. Not wishful thinking. It's not based on you and me. It's not based on how much you can dream it up in your mind. It's not wishful thinking. It's real. It's a sure thing. It's based on the giver. To us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. Christian hope is not taking a deep breath and hoping things will turn out all right. That's the wrong idea. That's the wrong use of the idea of hope in the Bible. Hope is a light already lit inside of us because God is God and God keeps his word from Genesis 3 to the prophecies of Isaiah, Micah, Malachi to the birth of this child, the serpent crusher who would defeat the darkness ultimately on the cross. God keeps his promises. Christmas is not tacky decorations and tacky plays of nativity. It's not children's songs and Christmas films. Hebrews 11 tells us that faith is confidence in what we hope for, an assurance about what we do not see. Here we have a promised Savior having already come. He's already fulfilled those promises, which gives you and me the daily confidence, daily hope, daily assurance for today, tomorrow, forever. Now, do you want hope today? Are you clinging on to this hope today? Is this your sure thing today? Has the lamp already been lit in your life today? Is this hope yours? I don't know what darkness is going through you, but you need to look at Jesus. I don't know what disgruntlement you have. You need to look at Jesus. That's why we have to take the opportunity every year. We take this wonderful chance that we've been given because the world focuses in on Christmas. We don't do any work for it, and the world talks about Christmas. It gives us this chance to point people to Jesus, to focus on the fact that Jesus stepped into our world of darkness. He was born. He walked alongside us. He walked among us. He knows us. To give us real hope that because he died in the darkness, he died for our sin. He took our hell. It gives us real hope that the darkness we're in today in this world will not last forever. The best is yet to come. He kept the promises the first time he came. He will keep them the next time he comes at the end. And that gives us hope. It gives me hope. It gives us patient confidence that this is a sure thing. It's a lamp already lit because our God is faithful. And finally, if hope is a light in the darkness, and if hope is a light already lit, then hope is a light that keeps us alert. Hoping is not a passive thing. Hoping does not mean doing nothing. It is the opposite of desperate, panicky manipulations, of scurrying around and worrying. It means a confident and alert expectation that God will do what he says and what he said he will do. Eugene Peterson, a great writer, once said that hope is imagination put in the harness of faith. It is a willingness to let God do it his way and in his time. The Advent season is the season to be looking, to be alert, looking for light, looking for rescue, looking for every promised good thing. We sang from Psalm 80. We sang the words, "Make your face shine on us that we may be saved. Make your face shine on us. Show us the light so that we may be saved." It's not just show us the light, oh how nice. Show us the light so that we may be saved. So that it'll make a difference to me. So that it'll change me. So that I will be safe. Isaiah chapter 2, the prophet charged God's people to walk in the light of the Lord. Walk in it. Don't just sit back. Walk. Move. Go. Romans 13, the apostle Paul tells the people of God, he says this, "Do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. Because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here." So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. The answer to the darkness is light. The answer to the dangers is rescue. The answer to lethargy is vitality. The answer to exhaustion is rest. Which of these things do you think you're going to most need in the days and the weeks ahead? Let the hope, let the light that has dawned, let this sure thing of Jesus, the one who was promised, who has come, let the sure thing of God who keeps his promises, let this sure thing that has already impacted your life and the flame has been lit, let this sure thing be a light that keeps you alert. Don't just sit around. Don't just sit back. Don't just do nothing. Let the light shine brightly in your eyes. Heaven is won. Heaven is coming. It's time to turn to God. It's time to tell others about Jesus. It's time to wake up. Another year is coming to an end. I don't know all your sins and your lies and your hypocrisies. You don't know all of mine. I don't know what kind of year you've had, who you've been. I don't know all your stories. Let the hope, this sure thing, this fulfilled promise, this reality of a Jesus who was born into the world and who knows, who stepped into the darkness, who died for that darkness, to bring his light. Let this sure thing wake you up. Put aside your deeds of darkness. Start all over again if need be. Jesus didn't come into this world to leave us in the darkness. He is the light of the world, so stop ignoring him. If you don't know Jesus yet, stop ignoring him. If you do know Jesus, but you are slipping in your sins and your lies and your hypocrisy like I often do, stop the deeds of darkness. Wake up from your slumber. Stop putting it off. Stop being apathetic about God. He's your light. He's your hope. He is the bedrock of the patience that will help you get through this world. Put your imagination into the harness of faith and stop limiting God. Stop thinking this is all that there is to the world. Stop and hang on to Christ every single day. That's the great gift of Christmas. Lamp the fires inside of you and let it shine out of your life to this whole world. Wake up. Hope is here. It's yours. And if it's not yours, here it is, given as a gift, offered to you. Take it. Receive it. It's not based on you. Stop looking at yourself. It's not based on you. Just take the gift. Just accept it. And the hope will be yours. Amen.